making the gospel of our Saviour beautiful. That's what the word's used about. I want to get that the right way around. It's not we are going to make it beautiful. It is beautiful. The gospel of our Saviour is beautiful. And we're going to adorn it. We're going to present it in the right way. Imagine your job is to work in a museum. And as a curator, you've been given charge of some jewels that have been found, a crown from some archaeological excavation or something like that. And you've got a crown and a necklace and some gems and diamonds. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with these beautiful treasures? Are you going to sling them on a hook? Are you going to stick them down on a table? Or are you going to try and work out how to display their beauty? So if you go in a museum, you'll find sometimes that they line things with, perhaps some black velvet or something like that. Some sort of background to display these things. And then they'll lay them out carefully. Perhaps they'll raise them up and put them in different places. They'll put a glass case over it to keep it safe. They'll shine little spotlights on it to highlight its beauty. That's what you do in a museum. What about us as Christians? How do we make the gospel beautiful? How do we display it? Well, we're going to see in these verses in Titus that we're going to do it by our lives, in the way we live. And I found an example this week. The kind of theme links in as well with the theme of remembrance of someone who did just that in perhaps one of the worst situations you could find yourself. The true story, Valley of the Kwai, from which there is also a film, Bridge Over the River Kwai, it was the story of some prisoners of war. Lots of them were British, some were Dutch, some were Australian, a few were American. And these were people who had been captured by the Japanese army, often at the beginning of the war. Lots of them were taken to Burma to work in slave labour on a railway line that became known as the Death Rail, because of the thousands of people who died building it. And these prisoners of war were horrifically treated. They were starved, had pitifully little to eat. They were cruelly worked. There were many tropical diseases that ravished their way through these prison camps, and there was no medical care or treatment of them. And the prison guards were barbaric in the way they treated these prisoners. And in the end, it was also the way the prisoners treated each other. In that bleak situation, they too became quite awful in the way they treated each other. People would steal from each other. They would walk up to a man who was sleeping on his bed and just steal the covers, steal the blanket from him. If anyone had a little bag of precious things, they would sleep on it using it as a pillow to stop anyone else stealing it, but still people would. People would steal from each other their food. They would cheat. If someone was in trouble, they'd try and blame someone else. And it was we might call it a dog-eat-dog sort of situation, where it was just cruelty the whole way through it. And it was changed by one man. He was a Scot called Angus McGivory. Angus McGivory. And he died. And yet he was a big, strong, strapping soldier from the Highlands. And everyone was quite surprised when he died. And then they worked out why? What had happened? Someone else in his prison hut had been unwell. And so he was there on his own. People had stolen everything from him, and they assumed he wouldn't be long for this world. But Angus gave him his blanket. He didn't tell anyone, but he slept without one and gave the blanket to this chap. Angus gave him his food ration. He didn't tell him. He said, "Here, you eat this," and he made sure, stood guard, so no one else stole his food. And this poorly man ate the food, and Angus didn't eat anything. The other chap didn't know where these supplies were coming from, and he gradually recovered. But Angus suddenly dropped down dead of starvation and exhaustion. He had given everything to this man. He'd given his life for someone else in the prison camp. And once the story of Angus's loving sacrifice became known amongst the prisoners of war, it transformed the whole camp. And the chap who writes this book, Ernest Gordon, who wrote this book, Valley on the Kwai, writes about how he himself was struck by this Christian testimony. A man who loved. Many others in the camp became Christians. The prisoners of war, well, they couldn't do much about the external circumstances of their situation, but within the camp, they began caring for each other. They started their own church. They called it the Church with No Walls, because it was just a little gathering of people in the open air. Some of them started to make musical instruments so they could worship God together. They made their own hospital and started caring for those who had got malaria and all these sort of tropical diseases that were wreaking havoc. They started caring for each other. Their witness was such that even some of the Japanese prison guards would come along to their church. They were people who made the gospel beautiful. They showed what the gospel meant in action, and it had such a transforming effect on those around. Well, that's a little example, and perhaps one that's helpful to think of on a Remembrance Day as well, as we have spent time today pausing and thinking of that sacrifice that people made for us and for our freedom we enjoy today.